This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I'll say, like I said, all options are on the table. You know, we don't have a quarter. We don't have one of our guys on the contract. So I have to, I owe it to everyone to keep all options on the table. I'm not going to say that that's accurate or not, but all options are on the table.
How do you think Russell did the final month of the season?
Yeah, I don't know if it's fair. Just, you know, we lost five straight games. It's unacceptable. And I'm not saying that's Russ's fault. I mean, it's organizationally, we just got to be better.
But how much does maybe that last month or so factor into the decisions going forward with him? How do you kind of weigh that into his entire body of work?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously it was disappointing. We have to dissect everything, and we've been in the process of doing that, identifying what the problems were, and make sure those things don't happen again.
Well, Mark, you guys were 10-3 at one point. At that point, did you guys feel like we got something here?
Obviously, you're 10-3. You're naturally going to feel good. I mean, you guys all did. The fan base did, and felt good. You know, we made a couple trades down there, and those trades were made with the intent of helping us down the stretch and get to the playoffs and win playoff games and achieve our ultimate goal of winning a Super Bowl. We're extremely disappointed, obviously.
Yeah, a lot of people want to talk about blowing it up. You think you guys are, you know, strategic piece or two away from being a division contender?
I think we have some very talented people on the roster, and I think we add some more talented people, and I think we have a chance. I really do.
Those trades at the deadline, how do you evaluate the success of those trades? Did you envision maybe bigger roles?
You know, I think both those guys helped us. If I had to do it again, I would do it again. But at the end of the day, the result was, you know, we lost five straight games, and that's not good enough.
Cornerback in free agency, and with Dante Jackson, is he an option? Have you started to talk to any people?
We've had a conversation with Dante. You know, it was a good experience with Dante. He got the ball back for us a lot, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was seven times, two interceptions and the fumble recoveries. You know, he's a free agent, so again, options are on the table.
Omar, looking at the draft, how much of a priority, or is it a priority, to restock and maybe start to rebuild that defensive line?
It's important. You know, we weren't good enough down the stretch. So, you know, but unfortunately, we have the resources from a cap standpoint to address it maybe in free agency. And, you know, there's maybe some trade candidates out there. And the draft, this is a really good draft to the defensive line.
Do you attack free agency knowing which positions are strong and weak in the draft and vice versa?
Absolutely. I mean, you have to consider it. You know, sometimes things come your way in free agency that maybe you didn't expect to address. You know, you take a shot at it, and, you know, we'll do the same.
Omar, you guys are set to have the highest paid defense for the fourth consecutive year. Are you satisfied with the return on investment that you're getting for all of that?
We didn't win a playoff game this year, so definitely not satisfied on where we're at.
Omar, you can tell us now, were you close to getting Ayuk, and did that set you back? You can tell us now, right?
That's a good question, Mark. I'll just say this. You know, obviously that became a very public process. He re-signed with he got a deal with San Francisco. And, you know, we're always, Mark, you know me, I'm always going to look at everything. And if I feel like it's going to help us, we'll take a shot. If not, we'll move on. So
piggybacking on the structure of the roster, about defense being the highest paid in the league, does that inform you all's decisions as far as how you want to keep building this roster moving forward, spending for offense versus defense?
Look, at the end of the day, the goal is to acquire as many good players at every position group, and that's the approach we take, and that's going to continue. You know, it's the, you know, the balance, you know, I'd like to say it's 50-50. That's the reality is, it's just based on how your roster is constructed, that's not necessarily going to be the case.
McCormick was kind of thrust into a starting role. Yeah. Do you feel like he did enough to keep that job as his, or is that a place you may look to make an upgrade?
It was awesome. You know, Mason came in, you know, small school guy. He came in. This was not too big for him, and loved his progression, and I think the future's bright for him, and he gives us good options at the position.
Couple roster moves already, releasing a few guys. Do you envision releasing anybody else ahead of free agency?
You know, we're going through the process, and that naturally could happen. It's just, you know, it's just a business that happens at all 32 clubs. Fortunately, we're not in a position where we're not in a cap trouble, let's say. You know, we'll see how those things go.
All right, so that's Omar Khan for the first time in a very long time. Having heard the whole Q&A with Steelers media, I actually think that this following question and answer, in my opinion, is the biggest thing that came out of this press conference.
Yeah, a lot of people want to talk about blowing it up. You think you guys are, you know, strategic piece or two away from being a division contender?
I think we have some very talented people on the roster, and I think we had some more talented people, and I think we have a chance. I really do.
I think we have a chance. I really do. They think they're close. And the outside world doesn't. And they see 9 or 10 wins every year. And they think high floor, low ceiling. But these ideas that we all have, these, you know, fanciful ideas that we have about how they're going to play for the 2026 draft, or they might actually try to take a step backwards to take two steps forward. They think with one or two right decisions and some luck, they're right there. And I don't think he's blowing smoke, because I think their actions are going to back that up. They're not trading TJ. They're not cutting Minka Fitzpatrick. They're not doing anything that would make you feel like they're content to actually be a team that takes a downward move because there's merit or there's benefit or there's incentive to do so. They've talked themselves into the idea that we're not that far away.
Yeah, they're wrong. They are. They're pretty comically far away in this conference, where even if they got Matthew Stafford, they would have the third best quarterback in the division. At best, the fifth best quarterback in the conference, and a coach, coordinator, offensive coordinator, owner combination that still, I think, would rather play football in the Stone Age than get with the times. Other than that, it's great.
10 wins, make a couple of the right moves, have a strong draft class, and you're cooking with gas. Is what I heard there.
Can't wait.
Let's not blow anything up or tinker with it or have revised or different expectations on things. I really think when he says they're close, I mean, it's talking about like what the standard is. I think he feels like Omar Khan, because he's doing the bidding of the owner and the coach, let's just win a playoff game now.
How inspiring.
And it won't take much more to do that.
Very inspiring stuff from them. I'm excited.
I mean, he said that the end of last season was unacceptable a few times. And that's the right thing to say.
How unacceptable was it?
But their actions haven't backed it up at all. I'm seeing teams like the Bills and the Ravens, who went deeper in the playoffs, make more aggressive moves to their coaching staff.
They're the Steelers, though. They don't do that kind of thing. Consistency. Steadiness. We don't just jump at every react. We don't react to everything that happens to us. Sometimes we'll even appear catatonic, but we're really just like a predator waiting to strike, luring everybody in with a false sense of security.
Well, that's why the thing that I disagree with some Steelers media on and some Steelers fans on is when they think that they're only a move or two away, and it's such short-term thinking. I don't think you can rule out Stafford or even Aaron Rodgers. Or I guess even a Russell Wilson return. Because when he was asked about multi-year contracts for quarterbacks, Omar was like, well, yeah, we'd prefer that, but we don't have Ben anymore, and we basically have just got to find a guy who gives us the best chance to win, whether the dude's 25 or 35 is what I heard there.
Why stop
Life
there?
After Ben forces us to do things like that where, I mean, look, people have said repeatedly on the station they're not a quarterback away. Their GM sounds like a guy who believes that that's where they're at.
Well, their GM's not going to say, no, I think that we're pretty far away, because he'd be directly going against the owner and the head coach, especially right. The owner, primarily the owner.
And the coach. I mean, you don't think that Tomlin has convinced himself that...
I don't know how Mike could actually, as such a serious...
If they force more turnovers, you know, they're going to win 13 games next year.
I'm sure he's super, he's super confident in himself, but I don't know how he could actually watch the way these games play out and not have a little bit of self-doubt creep in. But I guess that's why you get to the heights you get to, because you just are convinced at all times, like, you are the actual alpha dog out there.
You know, I think Cook took a little bit of a shot in that Q&A. Pat Meyer. When he was asked about Arthur Smith, he said this guy did an awesome job and pretty much said he made the most of his situation.
Then why didn't they fire Pat
And then
Meyer?
When he got asked about Pat Meyer, he's like, I don't really want to comment on the job that any of our coaches did. We lost 5 games at the end of the year. It's unacceptable.
So why not fire Pat Meyer?
Because he's got another year left on his contract, Chris.
I guess if you have another year left on your contract for the Steelers, you by default, you did a good enough job to keep your job.
And 2 years in a row at the Combine, Omar Khan, our left tackle's Broderick Jones.
This time I actually believe him, because this time they don't have a crappy left tackle to cater to because he can't play right tackle. Finally, we get to see if Broderick Jones is actually a good draft pick when they play him at his position. He had one good year at right tackle, one bad year at right tackle. Now he gets to play his real position, and I can't wait for the market to speak about how great Dan Moore is.
Donnie, does that give you hope? Was that an inspirational press conference there? Did you hear anything that makes you feel better about this season?
Very inspired. Very inspiring. I don't know how you wouldn't want to jump through a wall like the Kool-Aid man.
Yeah. That's as inspiring as when Art says, or Jim Rooney says, perform above the mean. Can't you hear the inspiration in my voice? I feel like Bill Belichick talking about his team's performance.
Kabali's conspiracy theory is when he talked about you pick up a quarterback and that's going to determine who your wide receivers are. He thinks that that's a subtle hint that it could be Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams here.
Where's Randall Cobb right now? Can we?
What about Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp?
Another good call. Another good point. Who would be Russell Wilson and Cortland Sutton? Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf.
Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett, who's going to get cut.
Justin Fields and any Georgia guys? Justin Fields and Garrett Wilson at Ohio State together.
We know what Johnny the Barber's preference would be.
Justin Fields and Emeka Abuka.
Kyle Allen and Mike Evans? I think.
A&M.
Is Kyle Allen that old?
No, I'm just like picking two A&M people. Kyle Allen and Ryan Swope.
Oh, man, there's a blast from the past.
He balled out in that Manziel game against Bama.
I never watched that Manziel documentary. I heard it was a puff piece.
Most of them are now. Documentaries have been ruined by the fact that the subject of the documentary, as long as they're not dead, has final
I liked
cut.
It. He pretty much admits how much he screwed up and that he should be dead.
Great. That's a
maybe
that's a
I
mouthful.
Should watch it.
Great documentary is still the one that ESPN did on the old Big East.
Oh yeah, that is one.
The old Big East basketball conference, that was just phenomenal.
Cuz I feel like the subject matter there, even if people have like strong feelings about it, it's removed enough and feels like it was just a, you know, something that they were never going to fully prevent that people now are like willing to talk about.
Halcyon days of basketball right there. The salad days of the
It'll
sport.
Never get better. Did you realize when we were all watching Big Monday Pony back when Donnie was a mere pup? Did you realize we were in the good days while they were happening? The good old days? I don't think
I
did.
No, I took it for granted.
I did. I took all of it for granted. Oh, I'm going to watch Carl Krauser like throwing up the X as he's like throwing up garbage
Well,
off
I was
the
watching an old game. I told you the other day in Rafferty, like, this is the matchup we can't wait for. Kevin Pitsnoggle versus Craig Smith. And I'm like, you're right.
I can't wait.
You're absolutely right about that, dude.
This is terrific.
Sign me up for that.
Give me 2 hours of those two titans.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Omar Khan gave Steelers media some time for the first time since last August. He also gave exclusive time to Richie Walsh from KDK-TV, our co-host on the nightly sports call, heard most nights here on The Fan. Richie, give us the juiciest thing Omar Khan told you when you went one-on-one with him today.
The juiciest thing that he told me, I would say that he's in discussions with both quarterbacks, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, right now, and he wants to get something done before free agency starts.
And you didn't think he was blowing smoke? It wasn't like last year when he said, we still believe in Kenny Pickett? Not one of those situations. You honestly believe that this time?
Yeah, but I definitely believe it because I felt like when I did this interview with him last year, he said he still believed in Kenny Pickett, but I kind of he kind of walked around it a little bit. This time, he said he liked both guys. They're in discussions with both guys, and they ideally want to get one of those two guys signed before free agency begins.
And did it seem like he preferred one to the other in your private conversation? Did you get the sense that if he had his druthers, he would pick one over the other in that situation?
No, he didn't. He didn't allude to one or the other. You know, I think it's going to come down to money. I really do with both of those guys.
What was the scuttlebutt at the combine? Just hearing the murmurs and the whispers there, did you get a sense who is in pole position among those two guys?
I mean, it seems like the scuttlebutt there, it seems like Justin Fields is in pole position. Now, that's the scuttlebutt from people that I spoke to. Also, I talked to Ryan Wilson at length today, and it seems like the scuttlebutt who they think the Steelers are going to draft is Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State. That seems to be like...
Well, that was the Mel Kiper pick today too, Richie.
It seems like everyone's on that train right now.
Yeah, because he's a safe pick.
He compared it to Najee Harris. Like everyone had the Steelers taking Najee Harris. It seems like it's the same thing. I personally don't think that that's going to happen. When I talked to Omar Khan today, and from just dealing with some of the Steelers people over the last couple months, Omar today basically said that when I asked him about the deepest positions and what he likes in his perception of this year's class, he said he loves the defensive linemen and he loves the running backs. Those are the two positions he mentioned. He didn't mention wide receivers. But from what I understand, that the Steelers like a few of the top-end defensive linemen, and they think it's a really deep wide receivers draft. So that leads me to believe that they would target a defensive lineman first and then maybe go to a wide receiver.
But he always could be smoke screening here and trying people off the scent. Richie, your private conversation with Omar Khan, what sense did you get about his level of interest in Matthew Stafford and pursuing that kind of a deal?
You know, that didn't come up. But he said to me, not specifically Matthew Stafford, but he did say to me, everything is on the table. This isn't your father's, what is it, your grandfather's Steelers. Everything's on the table. They might move up. They might move down. They might stand pat. Who knows what they're going to do?
I mean, right now it kind of is my grandfather's Steelers because they're not winning any playoff games.
Wow. Shots fired.
Yeah, but I guess you'll just have to watch the interview tonight on KDK.
What time is that, 6:45? All right, how about this one, Richie? Do you really think from the Omar Khan conversation, and again, from the things that are just being discussed at the Combine, the center of the NFL universe, that not only will George Pickens be back in 2025, but there's actually a shot he gets an extension before the season starts?
So I don't think he gets an extension this season. The one thing I did talk to Omar about today, and you'll hear that coming up in the interview, is that he called it a candid conversation, and George understands what the Steelers want from him and the expectations the Steelers have for him. And he said that George wants to be a Steeler. What I think is going to happen, and this is not coming, I wasn't told this from Omar today, but what I think and what I feel is going to happen is they're going to kind of treat this like Najee Harris. They're going to let him play it out and see what happens.
Oh,
I don't think the Steelers give him an extension, especially before the season starts. I don't see that happening.
Richie, do you think that that's a recipe for potential disaster, though? Having George Pickens have to prove that he's worth the money, don't you think that could backfire spectacularly?
I mean, it could be, but I specifically ask, is he worried about George holding out. That was the one of the questions that I asked him tonight. Like I said, he said he had a candid conversation with him, and he sat down with him for a while, and they talked at length. And he understands, George Pickens understands the expectations the Steelers have for him. I mean, you got to look at last year from the outside too, right? I mean, you can't give him an extension right now. I mean, I think he has to prove that he can follow the Steelers' ways. That's what I think. I don't see it happening. I think that this is going to end in a divorce somehow. But I think you're going to see George Pickens as a Steeler this year.
Mm. Richie Walsh with us live from Indianapolis, where he had a one-on-one conversation with Omar Khan, which you can see tonight on Channel 2. You mentioned that Omar was very bullish on the running backs. So that makes me think that Richie came away from that conversation and said to himself, there is absolutely no way Najee Harris is back on the Steelers in 2025. Is that right?
That's what it seems like to me. You know, and then more and more, I see your tweet today and hear from people out there that the Steelers are having they're going to use all their formal interviews. One of them's going to be with Ashton Jeanty. So, Ryan Wilson from CBS Sports thinks he could potentially fall to the Steelers. I don't know if they're going to draft a running back overall. They have other bigger needs, and the fact that Omar said that running back is very deep in this year's draft leads me to believe.
Pop wants Scadaboo from Arizona State. He said loves the way he plays the game and the way he goes about his business, and Donnie, how hard he plays has also been brought up by Bob.
He'll be the first guy in the facility, last guy
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
Athlete.
But and the loader is off the charts.
He's so cerebral despite playing so hard. He's really a thinking
man's
player.
And you say no way to that, Richie.
That's the one thing Bob and I disagree on. I don't want anything to do with Scadaboo.
Why?
I don't know. Everyone in Pittsburgh seems to think he'd be a perfect Steeler. I want to see them get a guy with some speed that can get to the outside. Someone that is opposite.
You're telling me Scadaboo doesn't have deceptive speed, Richie?
Like Cooper DeJean. Or Cooper
Kupp. Not like Cooper DeJean. Yeah.
Anything funny from Indianapolis? You know, you see these guys out, you run into Steelers media, there's cocktails, there's shrimp cocktails, there's things of that nature. Any media scuttlebutt?
Anybody party too hard in the media contingent and maybe have a tough day today?
Did Mike DeFabo formally apologize for the mean things he said about me? Anything along those lines?
No, I haven't seen anything. It's been a pretty lame crowd. Everyone had to be up early today.
Cabali in a terrible mood.
Cabali was in a bad mood today. But other than that, no, I haven't seen anything.
Was it
funny.
Really your 50th birthday, or was he just jagging you?
No,
when he put
that out there? Just kidding. Okay. He was kidding.
I was going to tell you, if you're 50, doing well, Richie.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
A youthful 50.
The hair looks good for that age, right?
Man, I knew you'd bring it back to the hair immediately.
Should Pitt fire Jeff Capel?
No, I think he's a good recruiter. I don't want to see them fire him yet. But, hey, both of those guys I would think would be on a hot seat next year. You got a new AD in there.
Has the new AD consulted you as a distinguished alum and letter winner there?
No, he hasn't, but we're supposed to play golf together soon. So
Got any room in that group for Muzzy?
Maybe, if you're lucky.
If I'm lucky?
Wow.
Maybe I'll invite you. You can be my partner, Chris.
All right.
Chris is playing well. I think he might be able to take you down now, Richie, after that great Oakmont round.
I can't wait. He's been trying to challenge me all year. I've been ducking him.
Mm. Well,
whenever,
Hey, it's
Richie.
Been a busy weekend for me. I was in Orlando yesterday drinking around the world with my wife at Epcot Center, and then I went right to the combine.
Did
you make it all the way around the world?
Mexico's the last stop.
I did.
That was
I made
a tough
it all
one
the way
us.
Around. I skipped Norway, though, because all they had was beer, and I didn't want to drink that. So,
I went before Lennox was born, my oldest, so this is over 6.5 years ago, Richie. I did the Around the World at Epcot, and that really is like running a booze marathon, man.
And it kills the wallet. It cost me about $400. I'm not going to lie to you.
It's difficult. I think at one point I was drunk enough that I was considering seriously getting a henna tattoo, and Alex, my wife, was just looking at me like I had six heads. Mm. Like I was so stupid.
Did you have wine in France, Richie? Do you have some nice wine there?
Well, I skipped Norway and I skipped Canada.
Then you didn't drink around the world. You skipped two countries.
Yeah, I did. I had two drinks in Mexico and two drinks in France.
Oh, okay. So you're just making
up for it. So I made up for it. Canada didn't have the poutine. I was looking forward to that. They didn't have it.
How about fish and chips in Great Britain? Did you do that?
No, we didn't get the fish and chips, but I had a crepe in France. You know, we had the pizza in Italy. Mm. We had a lot of good food there. It was fun.
Richie, thanks for coming on with us. We'll talk again soon. See you on the sports call.
No problem. See ya.
There you go.
Wait.
Well, I just mean future sports calls. I'm sure inevitably.
Pump's working tonight, right? Because Richie would have been there.
We're going to have to make a trade, you and me. Coming up here.
What?
Because I'm going to be in Florida next week for spring training from everything I've been told.
Congratulations on all your success.
And so you're going
to
have...
Another trip he gets to take without us, Malzie.
I knew that was coming.
Little old Malzie will be
here.
Hey,
guys, I think when the Steelers are in Ireland, we'll all go together. Just wait.
He'll be the
guy in Ireland.
There's a better chance he has flown to Ireland on a private jet for that game than there is all three of
well,
us.
Well, there's
end
a
up
great
there.
Discussion.
Guys, when the Steelers ever go to a Super Bowl again, we're all going
there's
together.
There's a great discussion going on there. Right now about something that we're going to do, the three of us. NCAA tournament in Cleveland. and meeting up with a jolly old fellow there.
Anthony Lima?
All right. So at the 5:31, brought to you by Gina G and Petro of RE/MAX Select Realty. Tomorrow's our big 15th anniversary party at the casino. And so I put together a list of the 15 best sports moments in Pittsburgh since we signed on in February of 2010. So I did not put in things like trades or draft picks or free agent signings or news events, just strictly games.
Trades that were at the goal line were not consummated. Almost got there, but failed.
Did you sense I did with Kabali when he snickered and asked Omar a question about that? He was fishing for Omar to say
something.
A smirking
response that would make you look bad?
Yes.
Yeah, I think Kabali's always fishing to try to make other people look bad. I think Kabali's line is always in that water. He got kind of a chuckling answer from Omar, too. He did get like a little nice question, good question, Mark.
All right, so I have the 15 moments. And how do you want me to do this? Do you want me to go 1 up to 15 or 15
down to 1?
15 down to 1.
Or you could just pick completely random ones and just start filling in the gaps.
All right, I put Pitt 43, Clemson 42, 2016. The Stunner, Chris Blewett, Deshaun Watson, record-breaking day for Clemson, not good enough against James Conner,
I'd put
Nathan
it
Peterman in the gang.
I'd put it higher. That felt like a big deal at the time. I know it wasn't a great
Donnie, that seemed high or low to you?
So that's number 15?
Yes.
That's low.
Yeah, I think I would.
I think that's in my top 10 probably.
Low. All right, I put 14, your moment, RMU beats Kentucky.
I think as much as I love the fact that I was there, I think the Pitt-Clemson win was like a much bigger story. The RMU-Kentucky thing is just such a classic on its face,
well,
David and Goliath.
Bit. Chris, by that logic, like Charlie Batch beating the Ravens in a regular season game would be ahead of both of those things because Steelers wins are always bigger stories than those things.
Well, now I'm getting lectured, Donnie. Here we go.
13, Duquesne wins first NCAA tournament game in over 50 years.
That's a good one.
12.
God, and then they got absolutely shellacked by Illinois.
And we rushed to Mike's to watch the second half of that game, and they were down 30.
Now, they were playing
and
with...
And we missed, like, an absolute classic
Oregon,
in the second
Creighton.
Part
yep.
of that doubleheader.
They were playing with house money. We watched our guy Golkey going off for Oakland.
Oh, that guy was just...
Oh, he was the star.
A phenomenon. The cracker
the bell
of the tournament.
Of the ball.
Well, that's what AB called him.
No, I know. We came back, though, and I'll never forget, all those Duquesne fans were understandably so happy. Duquesne would hit like a three-pointer to cut it to 27, and you would hear cheers go up like, come on, boys, we can do this. And then immediately Illinois would rip off three straight baskets.
I know. That was rough.
Donnie's in there howling. He can remember what that was like.
Well, because Sarah got into it because she's a Duquesne alum, right?
Go Dukes.
No, put up your Dukes.
Put them up.
2012, 2018, Steelers beat Pats.
You know what? You know why I'm going to agree with that one? Like that, or that one like resonates as a big one. You and I were in rare lockstep at that point early in this show's history. We both thought if they could have gotten that team into the playoffs, they could have done like a true crazy run all the way to the
Super
Bowl.
That was an electric feeling the next day after they won that game.
They came in, they didn't like, I think there was the thought they were always going to have to like outscore him. They scored 17 points and like finally got to him and made him look bad.
And that was what, the last game New England lost and that season because they went on to win the Super Bowl.
Yes.
They beat the Rams.
And if I still maintain if the Steelers had managed to drag themselves into the playoffs, I think that was the most dangerous they've been in a long time.
Number 11, Big Ben's retirement game. You're going to say that doesn't deserve to be ranked. Donnie, you?
Definitely deserving.
No, it should be on there somewhere. It's probably accurately ranked. I would just put some of the stuff behind it ahead of it.
Number 10, Pitt wins 2021 ACC title game.
Here's a quick question. Do you rank that ahead of the Clemson 43-42?
I did.
Because I thought they were going to smoke Wake Forest. Like that. It was fun to watch
yes,
them
but it
finally
still
be on
was
top
the
of that
exclamation
mountain.
Point, their first like conference win ever.
Yeah, I would put it over the Clemson win. I would actually have both of those a little bit higher.
Would you put either of those ahead of the Ben retirement?
Well, you
game?
Say that, but wait until I give you the list of games that are ahead of those. Top 15 moments in Pittsburgh sports since we've been on the air.
So we're in the top 10 now. That was 10. Now
9.
Yeah.
Pens beat Caps in 2017 semis. Flurry.
The 2-0 game?
Game seven.
That is an all-timer. I was at a baseball field in Squirrel Hill for like a youth baseball appearance. Could not believe that they were winning that game 1-0 when it got to that point. And then I got home in time to watch, I think, the last period and a half, Pony. The sense of dread, even though that game was nip and tuck the whole time, almost the whole time, the sense of dread coming over that crowd in Washington, like palpable on the TV, was glorious.
8, Pens beat Caps in 16 semis, Bonino.
I personally actually like the Game 7 better than the Bonino, but the call is so iconic from, what is that, Punjabi Hockey Night in Canada?
Mm-hmm.
Harpreet Pander.
7, Pens beat Senators in 2 overtimes, East Finals.
The game that for a long time I couldn't remember if I had attended or not.
That's right.
Kept having to ask Alex, were we at that
one? I mean, Donnie,
one?
Are you putting those Pitt games ahead of any of those Penguins games?
Yeah, probably not.
6, Pirates end 20 years of losing versus Cubs. Or no, that's Penguins. That's a error on my part. Pirates clinch playoff spot versus Cubs.
Some of these Pirates ones are going to be very hard to rank because the emotion wrapped up in just basically them not sucking is so different than watching a very great team do great things.
Now I'm into the top 5.
Donnie, any issue? Could you put Pens over Sens ahead of that Cubs game with the great finish?
You probably could, because we are saying that a what really was just a regular season Pirates game is ahead of the Penguins clinching a spot in the Stanley Cup
final. Here's the other thing.
It's just like the significance behind, like you said, the Pirates being good.
One thing I'll say is that was, what, their 90th win of the season or something? They had like a week plus to still clinch. Like, they were going to clinch. There was no real
I know, but the drama
worry.
Of it was so good,
It was
dude.
A great finish. I think, though, if that game ends with a lazy fly ball.
I agree.
It's not, it might not even, it's on this list somewhere, but the raw emotion of
I'd probably flip that with the Senators. Sens.
I think I would, too.
Okay, 5. Steelers win 2010 playoff versus Ravens.
Yeah, that game is awesome. That's the last game, the last Steeler game my dad has attended. After that, he was like, you know what? I'm hanging it up.
Well, your dad just strikes me as a guy that's like, you know what? At home, the beer's the coldest and the cheapest you're going to find.
Best seat in the house is my living room.
Yep, no line for the bathroom. Every cliche in the book that somebody could use.
That game is personally memorable because I was very drunk watching it happen. And then he and I had to come in here and do a show at 8 the next morning. And as I have told many times,
The Ravens lost.
The Steelers didn't win it. Why are you so excited?
Livid over that take.
He was not the only one. There were people just beside themselves that I was just digging in on that take.
4th greatest sports moment in the 15 years we've been on the air. Steelers win 2010 AFC title game.
I'd flip them. I would. Because that game was like not that much, not nearly as fun to watch. My personal memory.
Huge lead, but then almost blew it, man.
I would rather come back and win a game than like almost blow a lead, but still win the game. I would flip that 5-4 personally.
3, Pens win 2017 Cup.
Do you remember really quick here about that series? They won it in 6, and Gensel was unbelievable in that playoff run.
And Sid had his standoff with Subban.
Sid did. Nashville, like, dominated decently long stretches of play in that series, and then the Penguins would just counterpunch them to death. It was a very odd series.
When Gensel scored that goal, where they went a whole period without a shot.
Yes, dude. Like, everyone talks about that. Like, of course they were going to beat the Predators. I was super confident, but, like, Nashville was working them
Predators
over.
Predators were the hot team, like the North Stars were in 91, where they were the last team in, but they got scorching hot in those playoffs. Remember, didn't they sweep Chicago when they were the best team in the West that year?
They looked for long stretches like the better team in the Cup final, and it just did not translate.
They only had 4 defensemen. They were all great, and they played them the entire game.
Yeah.
2, Pirates win 2013 wild card game. And then I think you always remember your first. Pirates win 2016 Stanley Cup as number one.
The Pirates did it.
All right, Penguins, my bad.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.